Thanks, Eileen. Thank you very much. Oh, where are you going? Hello, Dermot. Come in. There you are.
It's the Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Enjoy the show.
Thanks, Dermot. Good afternoon on this Thursday afternoon. How are you? Come in, sit down, make yourself a cup of tea or whatever. Not if you're driving a car, of course. And if you want to contact the programme, 51551 or ray@rte.ie. Now, I had never heard about a Sudbury school before today. But we're going to find about all about Sudbury schools. And there's one in West Cork, there's one in Sligo, there's one in Wicklow, and they're all over the world. And we're going to be talking to Jessica Mason Little, who is one of the founders and staff members of the West Cork Sudbury School. It's a fascinating thing. Not like your traditional school at all. No homework, no uniforms, no classes, no segregation by age, and no teachers. Yeah, have your interest there. So it's a revolutionary type of education, and we'll be talking to Jessica Mason Little about that. And you'll want to hear Peter Duffy's story. It's a mad, crazy story. He said yes to a complete stranger and ended up going around to three different continents in 7 days and staying out in the middle of nowhere with an African tribe and witnessing a calf being born. Mad story, mad story. Peter Duffy's coming in to tell us that story as well. And after 4 o'clock, Dermot Bannon, who has a couple of odd stories as well about saunas and Finland and nudity. He's coming in after 4 o'clock and he has to tell that story now, whether he likes it or not. And if you have any questions or comments for Dermot from Room to Improve, it's in its 13th season. It's hard to believe, 13 years of Room to Improve. They should rename it actually House to Improve, shouldn't they? Because it's all nearly new builds now, as they call them. Remember, it used to be the quaint extension, you know, a little an old glass cube at the back of the house. Now it's getting close to grand designs. Anyway, we'll be talking to Dermot about that after 4 o'clock. And of course, we have the quiz, and I'll tell you about that in a moment. But first, to Annette O'Farrell, who sent us an email overnight to ray@rte.ie. And she says, watching and listening all the coverage from Ukraine reduces me to tears daily. I don't think you're on your own, Annette. I feel so helpless watching the terrible plight of all the people. My heart goes out to the mothers struggling with children of all ages making terrible journeys. I've asked my family to forgo their gifts for me for Mother's Day and instead donate the money they would spend to a charity of their choice that will help some of these Ukrainian mothers. What a brilliant idea. I thought this might be something that you could suggest to the public and your listeners. I know Mother's Day can be difficult for some people for a variety of reasons, so it may not be appropriate, but I thought I'd put it out there and see what happens. Annette, that's a great idea. And we spoke to Alexandra on Tuesday, who arrived into Ireland on Monday from Ukraine with her little daughter Maria, and they're staying in a house in Dublin now with Angie and Miles and their children. And she was saying how the mothers of Ukraine are heroes. The mothers who left, like herself, and the mothers who stayed behind, all heroes. So that's a great. It's 2 weeks, so people can put things in place now. They can have the awkward conversations with their mothers, or the mothers can tell their children that, no, don't want anything, no flowers, no chocolates, no cards, just let's designate a charity that are going to help people with the humanitarian effort in Ukraine, and let's donate the money there. That's a great idea. Thanks for that, Annette O'Farrell. And people are trying to find different ways of showing their solidarity, and there's that story on the front of the papers there about renaming Orwell Road, and they mentioned it on Liveline yesterday. That's one of the ways people are, you know, change it to Independent Ukraine Road, and they've done that in other countries. And I suppose where you can vote, you know, and there are very few opportunities to vote outside of your own country, but the Eurovision is one, and that'll be on in May, and we don't know what's going to be happening in Ukraine in May. You would hope that this thing will have sorted itself out in some way, shape or form, but there will be the fallout from it for years to come. Anyway, we were chatting about the Eurovision, and it's taking place in Turin because Italy won it last year, and we were wondering what will happen to the Ukrainian entry. And it's you know, it's hard to predict what's going to happen between now and then. But Kalush Orchestra would represent Ukraine this year with the song Stefania. The band came second in Vidbir 2022, which is the national song contest. But they won the televote in the landslide. Anyway, it's favoured to win. And it's probably because what's going on in the world that people want to show their solidarity and vote for it. But here it is. I'll give you just a taste of it. Stefania Kalush Orchestra representing Ukraine in this year's Eurovision Song Contest. Stefania, mama, mama, got my vote. Something about the fusion of that Eastern European chanting type music and rap, and it just always works for me. Stefania Kalush Orchestra. It often becomes a sort of a hotbed of politics, isn't it? Eurovision, things have been banned in the past because they're anti-government songs, and countries have been banned for various reasons. I can't see Russia now being allowed to take part in Eurovision. Have they been banned already? Has that been announced? We don't know. We'll check that. Still on music, Electric Picnic is back, which will be good news for a lot of people. It's probably the most loved festival in Ireland. The most loved festival in Ireland. Electric Picnic, the most loved festival in Ireland. And they've just announced the lineup, and it's a stellar lineup. Dermot Kennedy is headlining Friday night. Picture Dicks are there on Saturday night. Arctic Monkeys and Snow Patrol on Sunday night. And then there's a host, cast of thousands. And I'm just looking at some of the names there, and loads of Irish talent. Lyra is in there, Keane Kavanagh, C-Mat, Denise Chyla, For Those I Love, loads. Like, the Irish music scene at the moment is just very, very healthy. Tolu McKay, who did that lovely version of N17, and loads. So there, Electric Picnic is back. We're returning to normality, aren't we? And it's slow, I know, and there's still, it's great to see that people are, by choice, wearing masks, and some people aren't, but there's no... There doesn't seem to. I haven't witnessed any tension yet between those who are and those who aren't. And if people are, if staff are wearing masks, you should respect that and probably wear a mask yourself. That's the way I'm operating at the moment. Anyway, here's a throwback to the 80s. The Walkman. Ah, yes. Remember when you were the coolest person in town if you had a Walkman? And you used to get that thing that you could attach the Walkman to your belt. You'd wear it on your hip there, and then the headphones with the wire going up around. That was before wireless headphones, of course. Then you'd be going around strutting your stuff. Well, they became sort of obsolete with the iPhone, because in 2007 you could do all of that stuff that the Walkman was offering you and more on your iPhone. So why would you get a Walkman? So in 2010, Sony said, that's it. We're not going to do the Walkman thing anymore. So it was committed to history, but it's back. Yes, it's back. Yeah, in 2022, they're not calling it a walk person. I would have thought they would have called it in these walk times, but it's still a Walkman, and it's only available to customers in Asia. That's at first, and maybe they'll make it available to us eventually. It's expensive. I'm looking at the prices here, 1,444 euro. And you can get a gold-plated model costing 2,893. So it's not cassette and it's not CD. It has Wi-Fi capabilities for streaming and downloading. And it'll also be able to play your MP3 music files, like an old-school iPod. And the pricier model is encased in a gold-plated oxygen-free copper chassis. And will weigh in at 455 grams. So that's it. I wonder, is there a market for some sort of a player that doesn't have the phone? You see, there's, for children, who want to play their music off Spotify or watch their, listen to their favourite YouTubers online, but you don't want to give them the capabilities of doing anything else. So that might be something for somebody to invent, or maybe they're working on it already. We mentioned, and this is ridiculous beyond belief, but we mentioned months ago about a beauty competition for camels in Qatar. Yeah, well, it happened. It happened before Christmas. And the reason we mentioned it back in the day was that there was question marks over some of the contestants and that they may have been surgically enhanced with Botox and various other things. Well, after the event went ahead, 43 camels were disqualified because after X-rays, it was found that they had had surgery and Botox. And eventually they have an outright winner who is free of any enhancement of any description, we're told. Mangia Gufran is the camel's name. And it's won £200,000 for its owner. Mangia Gufran, the best looking camel in the world. Now, I don't mean to offend any camels listening, but I've never found a camel attractive. I don't know about you. Finally, they started talking upstairs about skin regimes and beauty regimes and washing your face. And there's a major divide between the sexes on this one. In our office anyway, I'm sure it's not the same anywhere else. The women, Roisin and Niamh, were shocked to hear that none of the lads have a regime of any description when it comes to the skin on their faces. So there's no moisturising, there's no pummeling, there's no, you know, this, what do you do first? The abrasive things, all that. There's none of that. We exfoliate. Thank you very much. You see, I don't even know the word. I'm actually delighted I don't know the word. Yeah, there's no exfoliating or dermal abrasion or debrasion or whatever it is. There's none of that with the lads, but Roisin and Niamh have a whole regime which involves foaming cleansers, charcoal bars, serums, moisturisers and face masks. And now there's a mention of LED lights. There's a mask that you... I would have to pick me up off the floor when these are mentioned. There's a mask now that seemingly is the new big thing in facial skin regime type things. And it involves a mask with LED lights on it that you put on your face. And then there's another thing they're calling slugging. Have you heard about this? Where you, and this is for the whole body, you apply your moisturiser and then over the moisturiser you put Vaseline on to keep the moisturiser in. Now, where you go with that overnight and if you have a partner, what do they do? And what about the sheets? What about the laundry bill? And would you be able to use the sheets again? Because we all know that Vaseline is oil-based and that, you know, all sorts of questions there. So what's your regime? What's your regime? Oh, one last thing. There was upstairs, there was nearly a fire alarm. It didn't sound, but everyone was going, "Do you smell that? Do you smell that?" And I'd plugged in my watch for the first time in the computer and I thought something had shorted because it smelt like one of those electrical faults, which is very dangerous, particularly in a building that has a lot of electricity and wires and all that sort of thing. So there was a little bit of a panic, You know, I was about to say, "Could we all move slowly to the exit, please?" And then it was discovered that the smell was emanating from the tiniest bottle of TCP. TCP. This tiny bottle of TCP, I don't know what happened, it was opened up and the odour just filled the office and it smelled like there was some sort of fire, but there wasn't. So there you go. Just that might be helpful in the future. Now, let's see what you're saying. Women of Ukraine and the world over are level-headed, practical people, as they have to be. They are the world's main body of carers. If only there were more women in power, we would not be having these wars. Susie, I agree with you. And I've been saying that for a long time. And I think it's a statement of fact, nearly, if that's possible. Don't forget the Walkman stickers. It wasn't a thing. I think I was too old for the Walkman stickers, but it's obviously a thing for you. 5 on 5 on RadioRT.ie. We will tell you about our quiz after this. Good afternoon. The brilliant and sublime Sinead O'Connor and No Man's Woman on RT Radio 1. 5 on 5 on RadioRT.ie. For years, I worked in a huge, well-known beauty department. I often asked elderly ladies I think older is what people prefer to be called now. I heard that discussion recently. Anyway, elderly, older ladies with good skin, what did they use? It was always the same two products mentioned, Nivea or Pond's Cream. So there, Nivea or Pond's Cream. I bet you the owners of them camels got the hump when they got thrown out of the competition. Well done, Tommy, Dublin 12. I loaned my mother a Sony Walkman in the 80s. Loaned in inverted commas. She used it every morning until she was hospitalised and died recently. It is still in working order. Is this a record? So she was still using it up to the time of her death. That's amazing. So the 80s up to now is 40 years. I wonder, is there anybody else out there still using a Sony Walkman in its old cassette form? Because the CD version never really took off, because when you were on the move, the CDs skipped. So is there anybody still using a cassette? I've cassettes at home, actually. You could have them if you are. I don't know if your taste in music would be similar to mine. Soap and water, that's my beauty routine. People think I'm my daughter's sister. Oh, look at you. So with comments like that, I won't be changing it for an LED mask or any other hokey pokery type stuff. Yeah, it's a difficult one because there's a whole industry and people believe it's working, and two of them work with P. So I better be careful what I say. Niamh is going to get a mask, and we'll keep you abreast of how it works out for the LED mask. Now, this. Yep, reeling in the ears, our daily quiz. We're looking for two people to come on and answer three questions each on clips they will hear, bits of songs, bits of news reports, TV shows and movies. And there is a prize. It's a two-night stay in the Kinsale Hotel and Spa, set in 90 acres of woodland with stunning views over Oysterhaven Bay. Perfect retreat for all ages and loads of stuff to do. You can enjoy gorgeous walks, relax in the spacious leisure club, unwind with a treatment in the spa and appreciate panoramic views from the Rockpool restaurant. They have 70 guest rooms and they also have a range of private lodges. You can find out more at their website, kinsalehotelandspa.ie. kinsalehotelandspa.ie. Okay, two people, we're looking for two people. Two of you after 4 o'clock. Here's your qualifying question today. The lineup for Electric Picnic was announced today. It famously takes place in Stradbally. In which county is Stradbally? Okay, in which county is Stradbally? 0818715925. 0818715925. Good luck with that.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Email ray@rte.ie. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Now, a headline in the Star today caught our attention. The School Without a Teacher. The article by JJ O'Donoghue suggested it could be called The School of No's. No homework, no uniforms, no classes, no segregation by age and no teachers. The school in question is the West Cork Sudbury School, S-U-D-B-U-R-Y. And I'm joined on the line by one of the founders and staff members, not a teacher, to be clear, not a teacher, a staff member. And we say welcome to Jessica Mason-Little. How are you doing, Jessica?
Good, thank you, Ray. Hi.
Thanks so much for taking our call. This is fascinating. I'd never heard about is it the Sudbury method or approach, or what do you say?
The Sudbury model, I mean, it's still relatively new in Ireland. The first school like this actually opened in Wicklow 5 years ago. They're now the Wicklow Democratic School. And then there's also a Sligo Sudbury School that's been opened there now in the fourth year. And so we're the third school like this to open in Ireland.
What's the pitch? So, you know, if you're pitching it to a parent or to somebody, say in a casual situation, what do you say?
How do you convey something that sounds mad?
Yes, exactly.
So it's a school for self-directed learning. We're a democratic school in that the staff and students have equal say in the running of the school. Now, when I say that, obviously there are some things that we're limited by law that the students wouldn't be involved in, but a lot of decisions about the school are made in our weekly school meeting. And although this is new in Ireland, it's not a new concept. The original Sudbury School has been running in America for over 50 years now. Mm. And there are other democratic schools in the world. Probably the most famous is Summerhill, which is over 100 years old now in the UK, which was founded by A.S. Neil. Yeah. We're a school for self-directed learning, essentially.
Self-directed learning. Okay.
Yes.
So you learn what you want when you want. Is that it?
Yeah, I mean, the concept of the school is really based on the fact that humans are innate learners. Like, that's what we do as mammals, that's what we do as people. We have a desire to learn. But often what can happen by going through a kind of more directed and dictated education system, we lose that innate interest and passion for learning. Mm. And so in a school like this, children are allowed to really explore what interests them. And that might be playing up until what we might think of as quite a late age. But we really see the value in play as a tool for learning. I mean, all mammals learn through play, and a lot can be learned on a day-to-day basis. So, yeah, it's really kind of valuing that, but allowing space for people to become passionate about what they want to do. And it's a more holistic approach to education.
Let's go back to innate learners, because mm-hmm. if we weren't innate learners, we wouldn't be where we are as a race. Mm-hmm. As a species, I should say, not a race, as a species, we wouldn't have been able to put a man on the moon. We wouldn't have developed flight, all of those things. You know, when you think back to it, there was no formal education for our ancestors back in the day. So they had to be innate learners, didn't they?
Totally. I mean, Einstein didn't go to school.
Right.
Yeah. There's a very famous story about his mother. He came home from school one day with a letter, and his mother telling him, actually, the school said that you're too smart and they can't teach you, and I'm going to teach you at home. And years later, when she died, he found the letter, and it basically said that he's unteachable. Probably because of autistic tendencies, they thought that that was it. He couldn't be taught, and he was homeschooled.
So how do you fit in the educational system, and what's your relationship with the Department of Education?
So as we are registered with TUSLA as an independent school. So because we don't teach the state-mandated curriculum, we receive no funding from the Department of Education.
None whatsoever?
Nope.
Right.
Which is a bit of a contradiction in Ireland, because it's unique in this country that the parent is recognised as a primary educator in the constitution.
Yes.
So you have a constitutional right to choose how to educate your child. However, that's only funded by the government if you choose to send your child to a school that teaches the curriculum.
But if you homeschool your child, you don't get any money from the government, do you?
No, you don't. No. And there's a strong argument for that as well, that, you know, people should receive some form of funding for that as well, because of the fact that we have this right to choose how we educate our children.
But there are people who go out to you if you're homeschooling to make sure everything's above board. Do you get visits from TUSLA or the Department of Education?
Yeah, so we would be the same. We come under TUSLA.
Right.
So it's independent schools would be monitored, and we have to register and be assessed by TUSLA. So we were assessed last year and approved as a school, as an independent school.
Okay. Will you give us an example of say, what was going on today in the school? Were you in the school today?
I am. I'm actually in the school at the moment.
Okay. It's in Cuam Chóla, which is overlooking Bantry Bay in West Cork, which is a beautiful part of the country. You're just hop, skip and a jump from Glengariff. You're very lucky where you are.
We live in a very beautiful part of the world.
Yes, you do.
The school moved this year. We were in Glengariff last year, and we moved to a longer-term home where we have a lot of outdoor space, which is fabulous. No 2 days are the same, to be honest. Now, and although, you know, it says no teachers, no all these things, but we do have a lot of structure in the school. So, like I mentioned, the school meeting, that was actually yesterday. But every Thursday morning, we have the reading of the minutes. So whoever wrote the minutes the day before, somebody reads those out to the whole school so they know what's happening. We also, on a Thursday, have our conflict resolution process that we use. So we don't have a punitive justice system, but we do use forms of restorative practice and conflict resolution when things come up. And we're actually in the process of reviewing that with students at the moment to work out how can we hold people more accountable to the agreements that we have. They're kind of like our rules.
Right.
And rules can be made and changed, amended through the school meeting, through the process that we have there.
Right.
So, yeah, this morning, I'm trying to think what else happened today. It's Engineers Week, so we had a Lego building competition for building bridges, which is still going on. I'm actually surrounded by Lego right now because there's best reception in this room. There was students cooking lunch. Survival Club were doing seed sorting. There was someone working on an outfit for a trash and show. We have someone volunteering who comes in to teach game design. So there's a couple of students working, one on a computer game and one on a board game design. So that was going on today. Oh, and there was Japanese this morning as well. We have someone coming to teach Japanese once a week.
Okay. Now, I was at pains to point out that you're a staff member and not a teacher. Are any of the people who are staff members qualified as teachers?
No, not at the moment. Now, I would have nearly 20 years experience in education. I've worked in environmental education and in various settings. In some ways, being a qualified teacher almost can be a hindrance, because what we're really here to do is to support self-directed learning. So a student might come to you wanting to be taught something, but that's very much consensual learning. You know, they want to do it. And so their approach and their commitment is going to be very different. And if we are able to teach that, for example, one of our staff members is French. So she teaches French in the school. I have a science background, so I'm teaching chemistry to some teenagers, and I run a science club. But if there's something we can't teach, for example, Japanese, we have a neighbor who comes in. So being a teacher, it can be difficult, because we're here really in a supportive role, you know.
Yeah.
And what we're encouraging then is critical thinking and
which is important, hugely important. Yeah. I'm just wondering then, when it comes to state exams, like the Leaving Cert in particular, which is a gateway, albeit flawed, into third level education, how does that work out?
So if a student wanted to do those exams, to do them, because obviously to register.
You're breaking up there.
Did
you move your position there, because you're breaking up there?
Sorry, can you hear me okay?
Yes,
now
you're fine. Yes. Go for
it. So anyone can apply to sit an exam in a secondary school. So if someone wanted to go down that route, they can. But there are many other avenues into third level education, whether you go through QQIs, you could even take the time out and then go as a mature student. It's only after you're in your early 20s still when you do that. And when you think about dropout rates, you know, in some of the STEM-related courses, they're as high as 80%. So I know myself as a parent, I would almost encourage my children to take the time to think before they go to college.
Yeah.
Just to be sure that they're doing what they want to do.
Mature student is 23, is it? Well, it used to be
It's 23, which is really not very old.
Okay.
I mentioned the other Sudbury schools, and actually Sligo Sudbury School are looking at becoming registered to deliver a QQI, which we may then be able
what
to come
What does QQI
them.
Stand for?
Do you know what? I'm saying it and I can't.
You don't know. Okay. Listen.
It's like it's like a qualification level. It used to be PTAC.
Okay. Just funding. So the fees, you work them out, they're means tested. So it's 10% of family gross income.
Yeah.
Is what you do. I'm fascinated by this, Jessica. I'd love to talk again. I'd love to talk to you. If one of the days you're in Cork, you could come into our studio. We could have a longer chat. I'm sure people would like to ask you questions about it. I'm sure there are hundreds of questions that I haven't asked that people at home would like answered. But I think we've whetted their appetite, just our chat here. We'll do a longer chat in the future, if that's okay with you.
Yeah, that's fine. No problem.
Lovely talking to you. Mind yourself.
Great.
See you. Bye.
Very much.
Bye.
The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Now, Peter Duffy is in studio with me, and back November of 2021, a complete stranger came knocking at his door. His partner, Blondet, answered. And the complete stranger said, "Listen, do you want to come and visit 3 continents in 7 days? But you have to do it in the next 2 days." Blondet thought he was a complete lula. Peter, on the other hand, was a little bit more open. And he said yes to the complete stranger, and he's here to tell a story. How are you doing, Peter?
I'm very good. Thank you for having me here.
That's sort of it, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, like, you know, it's not even believable. Like, do you know what I mean? It's completely ridiculous. Somebody knocks on your door and they're going to, like, do you want to come on a trip around the world? You just have to say yes. I'm like, you know, well, of course you would say yes. And you go, well, where's this punchline coming from? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And next thing you know, 2 days later, you're off to the airport. Don't know where you're going. It's your first destination.
Wow.
Yeah.
Because a lot of these things now are what they call enhanced reality, in that there's a setup along the way. But this, you had never met this man, Amar, before.
No, if I had ever met him, because they've 7 million subscribers plus. If you knew who they were, you couldn't do it, because you'd be like automatically saying yes.
Aha.
So you have to be a complete stranger and not know it.
And he and his mates, they're sort of a collective of influencers and YouTubers, and they call themselves the Yes Theory.
Yes Theory. Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
It's about saying yes to things.
Yeah. They're about 6 years of making videos. 350 videos later, you know, they knock on my door.
Right.
Or decide to fly from LA to London, do a paperclip challenge, fly to my house and knock on my random door.
And the paperclip challenge was, he had done this in London where he swapped things, and eventually from a paperclip he got
tickets to fly around the world.
Yeah, that, just that, for my ticket. They paid for their own ones, but that's it, yeah. It's a thing.
So then he landed in Dublin because he heard that Irish people were great crack.
Pretty much, yeah. That was it. Like, or either that or it was like the shortest flight. I have no idea. Do you know what I mean? And he'd spent the whole night the night before knocking on doors and people saying no to him.
Yeah.
He spent the morning knocking on old ladies' doors around my area going, no. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. And then they just knocked on my door, which no delivery driver can find. And yeah.
Go on. So Blondet answered and she said to you,
I was about to cut the grass. I was like, there was some fella looking to take her on holiday. And I was like, well, sure, you know what? He can take her on holiday if he wants. That's fine. Do you know what I mean? And she couldn't go. She'd family commitments. And so she said, Peter, do you want to go on a trip around the world? And I was like, in the video, like, going, like, I'm like, this is just, you know, it's some scam. It's like the fella who was trying to paint me an alarm box. Do you know what I mean? I was like, oh, this isn't really happening. But I said yes, because there's a tiny little 1% in your head going, like, this could actually be happening. Next thing you know, we're in a taxi on the way to get an emergency passport.
Because your passport was out of date.
Out of date, yeah. But like, I was like, my passport's out of date. But she's like, you can get an emergency one. I was like, yeah, okay. So I tried ringing the passport office, wouldn't answer. And I was like, do you know what? There's a small chance this is happening. Into a taxi. They came with me, filmed the thing, went off there, pleaded my case and got an interview for the next morning. I had my passport the next afternoon.
So within 24 hours?
Within 24 hours, yeah, I had a passport. I was really like, I thought, something's going to go wrong.
Yeah, now within those 24 hours you were chatting to Blondet, you'd obviously done checks on this guy.
Oh yeah, straight away, like of course, when I said yes and they offered me the thing, straight onto YouTube. Oh yeah, here they are, here's Amar, 7.15 million subscribers on YouTube, based in LA, here's all these things, them taking randomers, doing random things. And this was their big video because they'd hit 7 million subscribers.
Right.
Yeah.
And they hit gold when they found you, Peter.
People all thought it was a setup. They were like going, you found the perfect person. And all. Like, I was like going, no, like I didn't know them. I swear to God, I didn't know a thing about it. Like, I mean, they could have taken anyone. I mean, it was just potluck. I mean, it wasn't potluck, it was potluck for me. You know what I mean? So, because I just don't stop, which is grand. And,
and you're open and you're smiley and you're chatty and all those things. So the deal was, they self-imposed rules, but one of them was that you don't find out where you're going until you get to the airport.
Yep.
So Dublin Airport, they say you're going to
Lisbon. I was like, never been to Lisbon. Fantastic. Great. Couldn't have been more delighted. Went to Lisbon, had an absolutely cracking day and a half, wandering around the higgly-piggly streets, going to all the little independent places and having a great old time.
So back to the airport and then you're going to
Istanbul. So heading off to Istanbul. I mean, like, I've watched documentaries on it. I mean, I'd love to go to Istanbul. I went to Istanbul. You know what I mean? Got into Istanbul that night. They were tired, went to bed. I went off, found a local bar, came home at 5:30 in the morning, got up the next morning, went off filming, rented a big boat, went to Turkish baths, had a great time and met loads of lovely people. It was great. And then they were wandering back through the city the next day and I'm walking up a street and everyone's saying hello to me because I got to know so many people on the street. But it was really, Istanbul is okay. Cool.
Yeah, great. And it's where sort of Asia and Europe converge, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah, like people are there come to go mix. Like, you didn't go to another continent, but like half the city is in different continents. Yes, yeah, of course.
Right, so Istanbul Airport on the way out and you're told you're going to...
And because they'd been telling me the whole week and telling everyone like, oh, Waitley sees his last destination. So I was like, ooh! And got to the airport, you're going to Tanzania, you're going on safari. So like, I was like, no way, I can't believe it. Do you know what I mean? The closest thing I ever got is National Geographic or the zoo. Do you know what I mean? So like, yeah, brilliant. So 16-hour flight, heading off to Tanzania.
Yeah.
Ridiculous. Kilimanjaro Airport, little small place, getting a little visa. Yeah.
And you did, and there you're sort of up close and personal to giraffes, elephants.
Oh, everything. Like, we got really lucky. You go out really early in the morning, we saw everything. We saw absolutely everything. A lion eating a piglet one time. So many elephants. The first time I saw an elephant, I was like, wow. And then I'd seen so many elephants by the end of the day and zebras. I just, you know, it was just really cool. I ended up getting like safari eye. I had my head hanging out of the van the whole time that I got so much dust in my eye. I ended up in a hospital.
That's the thing, isn't it? Safari eye.
Well, that's what I call it anyway. Do you know what I mean? Like, you know, I couldn't explain it, but I was like wandering around after I'd gotten off my last flight and I was like, oh, my eye is in bits. Oh, I can't see out of it now. And ended up going to the hospital. But it was grand. I needed eye drops.
So did yet more surprises in store for you?
But unscripted surprise. So like, we had a really cool guy that we were traveling around with called Luceri, and he was our guide, you know, and he's the chief of a village, and his village lives in a conservation area, which is basically like, these are the tribe that lives very traditionally, We were going off to visit them just as a kind of a thing. The guys were making content, and they arranged with him that if I wanted, I could just stay there. They'd leave me with a GoPro filming myself there for the afternoon, into the night, into the next day, and they'd collect me and I'd be brought home to the safari lodge after that.
So that wasn't contrived or constructed?
No, not at all.
That's where they live. And they're mud huts.
They are. So they have to be traditional huts. You can't have anything. Like, there's no bricks and mortar. They live in traditional areas. They're surrounded by all the wildlife. There's a road going in and out, but they literally live the traditional lives, like straight up. Like, lions come out, walk through their village at night time.
Yeah, because you say half joke and whole in earnest that I could be eaten by a lion.
So no, that's honest to God truth. Like, the zebras sleep around the village at night time because there's hyenas, lions, all these kinds of things wandering around at night time.
Right.
And they have dogs trying to protect them. And they're all like living in enclosures in their little compounds.
What's the name of the tribe?
Maasai.
The Maasai tribe. Right, okay. And you befriended John.
John, I was staying with John. I'd met him earlier in the day. And he put me up for the night in his second wife's house. He'd two wives and two houses. And I stayed in the main house. And I went off herding with him. A house. So like a big round circular mud building. You walk in through a kind of a side entrance. To the left is where the baby goats sleep. To the right is where the very baby cows sleep because they're too small to sleep outside. In the middle, you've got the living room with the big fireplace in the middle, or kind of a hole, you know what I mean?
Yes.
And then sleeping platforms. And that's it.
That's it.
That's their life. I mean, it's insane. It's so lovely, like, don't get me wrong. It's unbelievable. Contrast.
And I'm looking at you now. You have a big open face, but for the whole video, which is 35 minutes long, and they must have shot hours and hours of footage, you have this look of disbelief.
I mean, I still don't believe it. Like, I just have to think about it and smile because it was brilliant. I hadn't been away for years, and sure, we'd all been locked up. And next thing you know, you're doing this. Like, a week before that, I was sitting at home in rat mines. Next thing you know, I am left in this tribe in the middle of a conservation area in Tanzania, and you're there, like, going, how did this happen? Because,
yeah.
I mean, like, it's not believable.
But not a lot of people would say yes to something like that. You have to be open to it. And it came at a time in your life where you're an open person anyway, I would imagine, but you were open to it in particular because you'd had a rough 5 years.
Well, yeah, I suppose, you know, I've just been through Corona, but, you know, the last few years for that, my mum had been sick, so I was at home looking after my mum. She passed away, like, is it 6 years ago? It's hard to remember with COVID, these things. Yeah. And then from that, then I became my dad's carer because he had Alzheimer's.
Right.
So I was looking after him and he passed away earlier on that year. We kept him at home, so it was all great. And
were you his primary care?
Yeah. Peter? So I was his full-time carer, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Talk to me about that, because that's a tough one, isn't it?
It really is. My dad brought me into the world as I continued to learn things, and I brought my dad out of the world as he did the opposite, forgot how to learn to do things. So it's a very crazy situation. It's hard to hold the space for yourself. I mean, you're very honoured to do it, and it's just a little bit tough. I mean, think anyone out there listening, or, you know, that's in a caring role or anything like that. It is.
And was it decided earlier on, after your dad got the diagnosis, that you would be the carer?
Well, I mean, it was the only option. Do you know what I mean? It was that. Like, you know, he needed someone to look after him. And
24/7.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like, you start off with this, you know, condition or disease, whatever you want to call it. You need less help, and, you know, it just increases as time goes by. You know, every different stage to it is different challenges or something like that. You know, as you're losing independence and trying to hold on to it, and you're trying to fill in the gaps and just make sure that they're okay, you know.
But I suppose the man that you loved and looked up to and taught you so much, he was drifting away from you.
Yeah, it's hard on you psychologically, I suppose.
Yeah.
You know, it's not easy. I mean, you just slowly watch someone slip away for years. It's a bit cruel, you know.
Yeah, because I've spoken to people before, and they say you grieve twice or three times.
Yeah,
because you see that they're gone from you, and then they die, and they're gone, really gone from you.
Yeah, definitely. It's no truer word spoken than something like that, because you do lose them after you've lost so much of a person. Then you're just really just maintaining some sort of independence for them, or just looking after them. And I mean, for anyone that's been out there, you know, like, towards the end, like all the wheels come off. Do you know what I mean? It's just
Raymond was his name.
Yeah, Raymond. Yeah.
What did he do for a living?
worked in Crumlin Hospital. He was, you know, he was a great carpenter and was a building contractor back in the day. When he had a family, then he got a full-time job in Crumlin Hospital. You know, it was carpentry. He had a maintenance shop there and kind of ran stuff there. And just he had a great time there. He loved it, you know. And he, yeah, until he retired, he was there and loved it. Yeah, yeah, just.
And did he recognize you at the end? You know, did he know you who you were?
Oh, sort of. You know, you were always delighted when you were called by your name, when he said Peter or he said thank you. But it was probably a couple of months prior to that when, you know, towards the end when he'd probably said my name or just said a thank you, you know, because just the mind is just, yeah.
What age are you, Peter?
41.
41?
41, yeah. Baby. So
that, but that was 5 years of your life, which is like selfless, really. You were, I know, and I know you say, well, what else could I do? You know, that was, it came naturally to you. But you had to put your life on hold, I suppose. Did you? For those 5 years?
Yeah. You know, it's just, you just end up in that situation and it's just, I suppose, the right thing to do. And
yeah.
Yeah, that's it. Excuse me, sorry.
And the day-to-day, I'm just trying to understand the day-to-day, what happens day-to-day in that situation?
At different times, it's different responsibilities. At the beginning, it's more helping them pick out the right clothes. Then it's dressing them. And then later on, I mean, it's a shower in the morning into getting dressed. And, you know, there's a curve of responsibility that, you know, you just, or responsibility are things that you have to do, you know. Mm. That's it. Like, I mean, unfortunately, towards the end, then, like, you know, you can't walk and, you know, eating becomes a problem. You know, the swallows, when the swallow goes, you know, that's really, that's when.
The beginning of the end.
Yeah, it is, because food can go down the wrong side, you know, and, you know, pneumonia.
So, because this is important, because, like, when Amar came into your life then, and I'm not making this too sort of Hollywood, am I?
Yeah. No.
But you were ready for this adventure.
Anything. Anything.
I was
like, do you want to come to the zoo? Yeah. You know what I mean? Anything. I was ready for anything. I mean, brilliant. I mean, any variance in my day. You know what I mean? Like, I was absolutely delighted. It was great. And it was just brilliant. I mean, like, okay, it was great. It was brilliant. It was amazing. It was a great opportunity.
Yeah. Has it changed you?
Yes. Now I'm like, I've gone from the person who, like, you know, can't use a computer to now I'm like learning editing. I'm in film school. I've bought myself a good editing computer.
No, you're making that up.
I swear to God, no, not at all. No, it's happening. No, it is. Oh, absolutely. I mean, I will make content that will get no views, but I will definitely do it anyway. I mean, it was just brilliant. I mean, like, it was the perfect thing to happen to me because I was already interested in it. But I mean, I'm Irish. I have imposter syndrome. I don't think any of these things are going to happen or, you know, that it isn't possible. But I've been shown that something is possible.
Yes.
And so, yeah, why not? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, so you're going to create your own content.
Well, I am, like, do you know what I mean? Like, you know, I mean, like, it's going to be shocking. Do you know what I mean? Like, I mean, but you have to get over the fact that you're going to make a lot of bad cakes before you make a good one. You know what I mean? So, I mean, like, but if you don't do these things, I mean, life's just going to pass you by. Right. So you might as well try and put a bit.
That's brilliant. I thought you were making that up. I didn't
know this part. No.
So your film school, your editing, you know.
Like, it's online. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know. Yeah. But say, yeah. And have you, are you doing it on your phone or are you doing it on a GoPro or what are you going to do?
I have a phone. I had a cracked old terrible phone now. So I was, you know, I have this and I have a little small camera that I can use for vlogging or making content.
Right.
It's really, you know, like just basic stuff.
Yes, yeah.
You know, and you know, you can add to these things. But you know, it's your best camera is the camera that you have now. Yeah. So it doesn't really matter what you have. So, you know, whatever you want to do. So like I will document my weird
day. Is it the world according to Peter Duffy or what will it be?
What will it be? Oh God, I don't even know. Like at the moment I've got to really learn everything. You've learned to be your own producer, your own editor, your own scriptwriter, film thing, everything. You know, you've learned to do everything yourself, and that's fine. And then document whatever you want. I mean, like, you know, I've got to get my dad's boat back in the water.
Right.
Which is a lovely, old traditional 110-year-old fishing boat. Can't wait to do that. When I get a few quid together, I'm going to disappear off to Pakistan and I'm going to vlog myself to death and just to do it.
Okay.
You know, why not?
Brilliant. So it has changed your life.
It did, for the better, yeah. I was stuck because with your hair, you just live the same day over and over and over again. And it kind of just messes up your head a little bit in kind of a way. So, like, you know, opportunities are there. And I'm just going to take some risks and I'm going to fail and it'll be grand. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Why not?
And say yes.
Yes.
Say yes.
And say yes.
Yeah, yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
And if you put in Yes Theory and Peter, you'll find it's 35 minutes of pure entertainment. Peter, thanks so much for coming in and telling
your
story.
It's an absolute pleasure. I've been on the den.
Good looking.
Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Great guy, Peter Duffy there. On Walkmans, is that what you say? Walkmen, Walkmans. I have a Philips Walkman in which I use one relaxation tape at night as my phone isn't in the bedroom. So that's all of there. And then Claire from Clare has been on. I won a county art competition with Golden Vale in the 1980s. My sister also won her category, Talented Sisters. We won a prize of a Sony Walkman each, presented to us by President Dr. Padraig Hillary. Paddy Hillary, Padraig Hillary. It came with a demo tape of jazz music. Connie, my sister, won a blue one. I won a red one. They were a ton weight for a 9-year-old, but we were the coolest kids on the block that year. Claire from Clare. He must have done a lot of those things because I remember he visited Kildare for a sort of a sports day, which even at the time, I was under 10, thought was odd for the President of Ireland to be presenting prizes at a local sports event. There you go. He was in Golden Vale for that competition as well. Now, Anish Tosha now in the pre-skeleton in Oakta, La Marie Nihulawan. Grandma, good Marian. Thank you very much. 51551 for your text. You can send us emails to ray@rte.ie. Emer enjoyed our chat with Peter. Just what was needed to take our minds off the awful stuff going on. Wonderful, says Emer. Just to remind you that Dermot Bannon will be in about 10 minutes time. And if you have any questions or comments for Ireland's most famous architect, get them into us now at ray@rte.ie or 51551. Meanwhile, it's time for Reeling in the Ears. Two quizzers standing by and they're looking to win a prize. Yes, they are. And this week, it's a two-night stay for two people in the Kinsale Hotel and Spa, set on 90 acres with great views of Oysterhaven Bay. Loads of stuff to do down there, 70 guest rooms and a range of private lodges. You can find out more at kinsalehotelandspa.ie. kinsalehotelandspa.ie. And as it happens, both our contestants are from Cork. Mary McCarthy in Dunmanway, hello.
Hi Ray, how are you?
Good, if you win you won't have far to travel.
I don't mind. I could ring to town and open an envelope. Anything would do me.
Anything can do you. Dunmanway is sort of inland a bit, isn't it?
It is. It's about maybe 20 miles from Clonakilty.
Ah, yes. I know yeah. Where you are there. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Is it a long road, a long street? Is there a long street? Was I in Dunmanway?
There's a long street in the town itself. The main street. It's a long, narrow street. Great town.
What are you up to today in Dunmanway?
Well, at the moment now, I'm collecting our daughter Noelle from school. Other than that, I'm at home full time.
Yes.
Housekeeping and doing all the hard work, the usual, you know.
And you're married to a farmer?
A poor farmer, yeah.
Now, is that poor financially or just, you know, poor the other way?
Poor financially.
Poor financially, right.
Yeah.
Is it returning to normality down there? Have you been out and about?
It is, yeah. I've been out now with a few of the girls, our local girls' club, the Johnstown Girls, and my husband went down to a place there in Inchigila called Ned's Shed, and we've been there a couple of times, and, you know, just great old crack. Great to go out and meet people again, you know.
Is that a pub?
It's a pub and a hotel, Creedence Hotel there.
Oh, yeah, that'd be the John Creedon people. They were Hawleys people, and John Creedon, who received, I've got to say, congratulations to him, Cork Person of the Year over the last few days. Well deserved, because he does so much for Cork, keeps it on the map. Not that Cork needs John Creedon to keep it on the map. But anyway.
Oh, God, no. Aren't I here?
Yeah, now. congratulations or well done or whatever, because you've pledged on the Red Cross website invite Ukrainian refugees into your home.
I have, Gary. If I can help somebody, you know, it's so important, and it's so sad to see those families, you know, and they're heartbroken, you know.
Yeah.
Their lives are devastated, misfortunes.
Yeah,
so sad.
It is. And I've been saying this, and everyone's saying it. You know, what can we do? And you've done something very concrete in that. If you've gone onto that website, it's a shared pledge. So you were offering them a room in your house.
Yeah, come and share our house, be part of our family, you know. I don't mind, we have the room, we can put up a family, you know. Two adults, two children, whatever. If we can, we'll do it, you know.
Brilliant. You're brilliant.
Yeah. Yeah, anything that would help, Ray. Anything at all.
Did that require a chat between yourself and John and Noel, or...?
Yeah, we all had a chat about it, myself, John, Noel, and Justin, our son, he's nearly 10, like, you know, he has to have an input as well, of course. Yeah, so, yeah, we're all in agreement, and Justin, of course, keeps asking when are they coming, you know?
Yeah.
He's met for a brother or a sister.
Yeah. Oh, that's
but
brilliant.
Don't mind anything at all, Ray, you know?
Yeah,
come
great.
And watch. It's very brilliant. sad, yeah.
Now, you're up against Evelyn White today, who's just up the road in Carrickalyne. How are you doing, Evelyn?
I'm very good, how are you?
Good. Who's at home with you?
My son is just home and my eldest is just on his way home now from school, and it's their father's birthday tomorrow, so we're all planning and getting everything ready for birthday.
Right. Now, the sons' names are?
Dylan and Dean.
Right. And why did you go for the two D's on purpose, or...?
Well, there's a little bit of a hidden meaning by it, but I don't think it's radio-friendly.
Go on. Try me.
Well, it was the only way I'd ever get my double D.
I should have spotted that.
You should have.
Right. Yeah, very good. Dylan and Dean. So Frank is celebrating a birthday tomorrow.
He is?
Yeah, and have you something organised, or is it a surprise? You prefer not to talk about that?
A bit of a surprise.
It's all circumspect with you today. You're not willing to talk about anything. But anyway, happy birthday in advance to Frank. Happy birthday in
advance to Frank.
Yes, yeah, great. Now, you know the deal here. We have three questions each on three clips you will hear. If you go for a short clip, you get 2 points because it's more difficult. One clip is a little bit easier. A longer clip gets you 1 point because it's a little bit easier. And whoever has the most points at the end gets the prize. If it's a draw on points, we go to a tie break question. Good luck to you both. Good luck to Mary and good luck to Evelyn. Here we go.
Good luck, Evelyn. Thanks.
Okay, Mary, in Dunmanway. The year is 2007. 2007, okay. Right? And we're at the movies for our first question. Do you want a long clip or a short clip?
I'll go short.
Short, okay. Pat Short starred in this Irish movie, which was directed by Lenny Abramson and written by Mark O'Halloran. Can you name it? And here is your short clip.
We're going late at the weekends now. Picking up.
Go away.
Aye.
They mentioned something about it on Sky News, all right.
Any idea what the name of the movie is?
Is it The Garage?
It is. It's Garage, but I'll take The Garage. Yeah, and add an extra T, an extra that won't bother me. 2 points for that. Okay, and Evelyn, 2007.
Go short.
Okay. Den Hansard and Marquita Erglova starred in this 2007 Dublin-based movie written and directed by John Carney. Can you name it? Here is your short clip.
You know, during the day, people want to hear songs they know, just songs that they recognise. I mean, otherwise, I wouldn't make any money. I play these songs at night.
What was the movie?
Was it Once?
Yes, 2 points for that. And Glenn and Marquita won an Oscar for the song Falling Slowly, which is taken from the movie. So good start from both of you. Back to you, Mary. It's music now from 2007. Long or short?
Short, please.
Short again. We were dancing all summer long to this number one hit from a global superstar. Can you name the song or the singer? Here's your short clip.
You have my heart and we'll never be worlds apart.
Is this
song or singer?
Rihanna?
It is Rihanna.
Oh.
Umbrella, Ella, Ella, Ella. You get 2 points for that. Well done.
Brilliant.
Whoa. Evelyn.
Yeah.
Now, Under Pressure, 2007 music, long or short?
You go short.
Short
please.
Again. Okay. This X Factor winner stayed at the top of the Irish charts from October till December with this song. The name of the song, the name of the singer, here is your clip.
Closed off from love, I didn't need the pain.
Is it Leona Lewis?
It is Leona Lewis, Bleeding Love, well done. Bleeding Love. 2 points for that. Now, so it's 4-4 and we're down to the wire on this one. It's to you, Mary. News and current affairs from 2007.
Okay.
What are you going to do?
Short, please.
Short again, okay.
Yeah.
Right, the Pakistan coach apologised after a defeat to Ireland in the 2007 World Cup in which sport? And here is your clip.
We're sorry that we performed like we have. We didn't mean to do it.
Cricket?
It is cricket. It is, yes. Was that a guess? It was a guess, yes, but it was a good one.
Yeah, wild guess, yeah.
Yeah, you can't do any more now. That's 6 out of 6. You put a lot of pressure on Evelyn here. Evelyn, are you going to bring us to a tie-break situation, or is Mary going to walk away with the prize?
Hopefully a tie-breaker.
Right, so I expect then you're going to choose short. You have to go short, don't you? Okay.
Yeah.
From 2007, this Irish golfer won the British and Irish Open in that year. Can you name him? And here we go with the
chip shot was sublime. It was magic. It was beautiful.
Who's that?
The Padraig Peter Harrington?
I'll take it. It's Padraig Harrington. I don't know his middle name, if it's Peter or not.
There you go. You learn something new every day.
Right, okay. 6 each, and we're in a tie-break situation.
Yay!
It's not the preferable thing, but it's the only way we can sort it out. So we asked you this question before we went on air, asked you for a guess. Whichever guess is closest to the correct answer is our winner today. So here it is for our listeners at home. How long would it take you to walk from Letterkenny in County Donegal to Shop Street in Galway? That's a bit of a walk. Your guess, Mary McCarthy?
103 hours, walking very slow.
Right, okay.
With a bad leg.
It's 239 kilometres. And your guess, Evelyn?
I said 39 hours.
Okay. Now, the correct answer is 49 hours. So,
wow.
Mary.
Well done, Evelyn.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you so much. Commiseration, Mary.
Yeah, Mary, you were You were great. And listen, well done again on going onto the Red Cross website.
No, delighted to do it, Ray.
No, that's brilliant stuff. That's brilliant stuff.
Yeah, delighted to do it.
And you're one of over 9,000 people in the country that have done it so far.
Which
so that's great.
Brilliant. Yeah.
We'll send you out. I tell you what, we're going to double the mug quota there because you're expecting visitors. So 4 Radar Show mugs on their way to Dunmammy.
Okay. A
okay.
Fantastic.
Lovely talking to you, Mary. Bye now.
Bye.
Evelyn, well done.
Thank you so much. I'm absolutely over the moon.
You're going out the road to Kinsale, yourself and a person of your choice for a 2-night stay. Yeah, that's lovely. And you can find out what's in store for you. KinsaleHotelAndSpa.ie. KinsaleHotelAndSpa.ie. Great stuff. Well done, Evelyn.
Thank you so much.
Good luck with the birthday.
Really.
See you. Bye.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Dermot Bannon, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Ray.
Good to see you.
Thank you very much. Good to see you too. It's nice to see people in person again.
Yes,
it?
And congratulations on the first half of season 13 of Room to Improve. I was saying that it's a misnomer because it should be House to Improve now, because the first three have been...
Well, we built a new house.
Yes. The first one, you built a new house, didn't
we?
We did
build a new house. We kind of are. Even if we don't build a new house, there's not a room left untouched. So yes. I suppose originally, I remember the very first episode, we moved the kitchen into the living room and the living room into the kitchen. And I remember...
How quaint.
There was a 10-minute scene on a double door and whether it should be glass or not glass. And now I suppose those things are even just glossed over. We hardly even look at some of the stuff because the houses are gone so big. So
it's bigger. The decisions are bigger.
Yeah, and I don't necessarily... Look, what it is we get... applications and you're going through them and you think like you fall in love with a site, you fall in love with a project, you fall in love with people, and we get such great people and we get such great sites, and so it's very hard to turn it away for a smaller project.
I suppose everybody copped early on that it is about the stories as much as the building, isn't it?
It's all about the stories.
Yes,
it's following people. The builds and all that are kind of play second fiddle. I play second fiddle. It's the humans who are building this with all of their life savings. It's their home. It's their dreams. It's their future. There's so much packaged into this. And I suppose we get invested in that and how much this means to them. And then we go on the journey. When they get upset or they get concerned or they're up and down over stuff, it's kind of, we get invested in that. And that's what people love. I think they love watching them.
Yeah. And of course, like that was a big one last Sunday because you had Hillary and Paul.
Yeah.
Hillary, the daughter, Paul, the son-in-law, and then Carmel and Hugh.
I just came from their house.
Oh, did you?
Because we see Carmel and Hugh's houses.
Oh, yes, because they're building another house there.
Exactly. That's for next year.
So you're getting two out of one site.
Good value, huh?
Cutbacks.
Every penny counts. Yes.
but But because it was emotional for Carmel and Hugh moving out of their family home. Now, they're only moving, you know, a number of metres across the way.
But it's still, look, and you can understand, for us, it was just kind of going in and kind of taking away stuff, moving walls. But for them, it was a whole, that was their history, you know, and not many people of their age do that. You know, not many people kind of obliterate everything. Like, there's stories in the wallpaper, there's stories on the shelves, there's books there. There was, you know, they had to declutter an awful lot of stuff because where they're moving to is a lot smaller. So they couldn't bring, and Carmel is still worried about, like, she has about 175 cups and where are they going to go because they belong to her mother. So she's not only got her cherished memories, she's got her mother's cherished memories. And yeah, so.
But you spoke to me before about the way things should be. In that there should be a cycle.
Yes.
A bit like the cycle of life in, you know, whatever the name of that is, the Lion King. That in housing, there should be a cycle of life as well. That you, as a young couple, you start in an apartment.
And then you go something slightly bigger, and then the family grows, you get something, and then you retreat back.
You retreat back into an apartment again. And would you were telling me that unfortunately, our towns and cities aren't built like that.
No, because we don't have a variety of houses within. So if you've got a neighbourhood, you tend not to have small houses big, you know, we tend to build all big houses, all small houses
in one area,
all apartments.
Yes
and it's very difficult for people then to move on.
Is that changing at all?
Oh, I don't know, like, it's a bit messed up at the moment, like with the build to rent schemes and all that. Like, some of those are tiny and some of those are, you know, the problem with that, with what we're building, is that people aren't, like, there's funds from New York are buying up whole apartment blocks or whole estates. Remember the place in Maynooth? So that they're all for rent. So somebody can't downsize into that because they can't sell their house unless they're going to commit to renting in it.
So just to go back to Carmel and Hugh then, and I suppose us as a people, as a nation, there's no tradition of it.
No.
Was there?
Well, if you think about it, like my granny and granddad, like, lived in my granddad's mother's house.
Right.
So there was a tradition where the farmhouse got passed down
one family. Yeah, I suppose in rural Ireland,
Since then we've become an urban culture, and with that you don't hand it because parents are living longer, and so, you know, you're sometimes into your 60s before you lose your parents, and at that stage you have your own children reared, you know. So it's like, I know my own mother was 60 when she lost her mum, and so, you know, the chance of passing on, what I loved about the story was it was a way of enabling them, but they had a bigger site and it was easier for them to do it.
Yes. Like, you can't do that. And the view, just to die for.
You couldn't walk away from that site.
Listen, every Sunday night when it's on, between 9:30 and 10:30, it trends on Twitter.
Yes.
Do you read
some
what Twitter's...
Of them. Right. Some of them.
What do you mean, some of them? How can you be selective?
I can't keep up with them.
Oh, right. Okay.
And then I actually have to go to bed. So if you were to get through all of them, you wouldn't go to bed until about 2 o'clock in the morning. Now, there was a stage when I did that and I'd respond to people, or somebody put up a really nasty message and I'd like it, and then they get freaked out and they say rumbled. There's nothing I haven't read about myself at this stage. And it's all water off a duck's back. Sometimes the really caustic ones I actually find hilarious. I just think, well, that's very clever.
I'm envious of you because I wouldn't invite that into my world at all.
Oh, look, they don't know you. And they're trying to be funny, and some of them are funny, and even though it is, like, there was one I can't even say it, like, the language was horrendous, and it was sent to me on Instagram, and then I liked it, and then he got freaked out the next day and he says, oh my god, I said, but your name is on it. Like, of course it's linked back to a page, I know what you look like even. But look, that's part and parcel of it, isn't it?
And then he withdrew his comment, or was he scared, or was he?
No, he just kind of, he put a smiley face up and went rumbled, and I said, and I liked that back then as well. So, like, you know, I don't enjoy it, but I don't mind it. I kind of accept that when you're doing something like this, it does go with the territory. And I find it harder though with clients on the show who maybe get a bit of backlash.
Yes,
I find
that
hard. I find it hard for them because they're not. I'm doing this 15 years. Like,
that being said, though, you know, they sort of know what they're getting into, do they not?
Nobody knows what they're getting
into. Do they not?
No. No, you said you find it uncomfortable.
Yes.
And how long are you in this industry?
Oh, yeah, well, yeah.
A bit longer than me.
Yes.
Yeah, and you find it uncomfortable. Yeah. So can you imagine what it's like? So I think people say, not a bother, like, that won't bother me, you know, and then they read it. and then...
Then they're bothered. Yes.
And then they're bothered. And then you'll see 17,000 really nice tweets and you'll see one bad one. And the only one that you remember is the bad one.
That's the human brain.
That's the human brain. And we've all been there. How
did that help evolution, that you only remember the bad stuff that's said about you? I don't know. I'll have to go.
I don't know, actually. No, just, no. That's a very deep question. Very that's deep where question. You need Alison Keating for that.
Yeah, you do. And I was reading something that the last time we saw you, and I hadn't put that two and two together, was when you did your own house.
Yes.
And of course, the big talking point from the house was the bath, oddly, outside.
I know. I do this house. Yes. I kill myself doing it, kill myself on absolutely every detail. We film every detail. There was one bath inside that was going to end up in a skip, and I said, I can't put that into skip. So I throw it down near the shed and say, wouldn't it be cool to have the bath? And that's all. And every time,
here we are talking about it.
But every time I meet somebody, sorry, just one question, Dermot. Like, do you use the bath? Yes. Have you been in the bath? Yeah. How many times do you use the bath?
Well, you see, the reason I'm talking about it is not because I'm, you know, because there is...
You want a bath.
There is new news. There's news, isn't there? There's
news. News.
Yeah, there's news. there's an addition to the bath now. Alongside.
Talk about a baby. During the pandemic, we put in a sauna. We put in a kit sauna. So we have a shed at the back, a galvanised steel shed, and one of them stores the bikes, and then I put one on the other side, and then the bath is kind of in the middle. And so
it's a kit sauna, is that it?
So it's just like a cheap sauna that put into one of the sheds. But I love it. I absolutely love it. So during the pandemic, I became a full-on Scandinavian. Marched down to the end of the garden. In, I have it up at 95 degrees. It's so hot, the sweat evaporates, so you don't even sweat in it. And then you go out and I put in, you know those, you know in gyms showers, you know the ones where you press the button and it comes out, but it's freezing cold. And it's especially good in the winter. So you get this ice shower and then you go back and you go in 95 degrees in and out and you do that three times. I can last about 15
Very
minutes.
Very Scandinavian.
I love it.
Where did this come from? Where did your love of sauna come from?
I went to Finland on a college trip, right? And I remember the first night we arrived, there was only four of us went. There was supposed to be 20, but when I arrived at the airport, there was only four of us actually turned up. And so we were a very manageable group to go to people's houses. So one of the tutors on the thing said, come to my house in the evening for dinner. So we all went and he says, now we'll have sauna. I said, we will not. And he says, no, we will. I said, we will not. And so I said, right, I'll just do it. And I got into the sauna and got out. We had to go outside and into a lake. And back. I honestly, I swear, it was life changing. I never felt so amazing. The whole next day, I was buzzing. It was absolutely.
And they have that thing as well. There's a number of things, isn't it? There's
the Vastas. So you go out and you collect birch twigs and you hit each other. Oh, there's loads. They've loads of traditions.
You have to be naked.
Yeah,
you have to be naked.
Yeah, because they see it as because you sweat out all your toxins. So if you're sweating out all your toxins, if you're wearing swimming togs, they consider that filthy.
They don't have washing machines. No.
No, but it's just like, so you know the way Irish people go to a gym maybe and they might go to the sauna afterwards and they'll have go into the sauna first and then shower.
So the Scandinavians see that as
filthy. You have to have a shower first. You don't have a shower after the sauna. Okay. So you have to wash yourself completely. Then you open, like what they even have these things. What's those? A test tube. And you cut your skin slightly and then you put the test tube over the cut. You go into the sauna and it changes your blood. They have so many different traditions. Right. But it's all about getting rid of toxins out of the body. But it's like sea swimming. And, you know, it's the hot and the cold.
Yes,
like it's
the shock to the system.
The shock to the system. And like it, honestly, I love it. And it's at the end of the garden. And it's kind of like that's a bit of a ritual once a week now. I look forward to. And they do that as well. They have the sauna time once a week.
Right.
And they all do it, the whole family. They all head down. And it's
so you have a sauna and a bath and a shower down the end of the garden.
Cold shower, yeah. Like, I just I, short
I don't
to move.
I don't know what this says about you.
I'm just about ready to move down. No kitchen down there yet.
And does anybody else use the sauna with you?
Or the kids do it as well. Yeah. Oh, look, I love it because I can stay in a little bit longer than them. So they go out and I make them. They have to do the cold shower, and I hear them screaming outside because I know they've done. And I make them because you have to press the button three times because it only lasts 20 seconds, and so I know how many times they've screamed whether they've done it three times or not. They love it. They absolutely love it.
Yeah. They'll be calling now. They'll be calling somebody. Yeah. Anyway, listen, how long have we got left? We've a minute and a half. So let's see how quick you are.
Okay.
Hi, Dermot. How do I choose the colour of replacement windows for my house? It's partially red, orange brick.
Okay,
thanks,
so
Claire.
You need to get a swatch, right? What people don't understand, and it's something that actually annoys me, and I've started this. People think that the trendy colour for windows is grey, right? There's lots of different colours of grey. There's warm greys, there's blue greys. You need to get a swatch, and you need to hold them up to, first of all, the brick, but also the roof. So there's lots of people with kind of brownie roof tiles and they put in a blue-grey window.
Doesn't work.
Doesn't work. Okay. You've got to hold up the swatch and make close one eye so it becomes two-dimensional and check. And so it's the roof and the walls. People always forget the roof. But the roof is a huge colour on your house. But colours like greys are good, black is good, white is good. But really, there's nothing beats taking out a swatch of colours that are available and just fanning them out and holding them up and seeing
good advice.
What works well.
Close one
if
eye.
If you can pick clothes, you can pick colours.
Right. Can you please ask Dermot how much a garage conversion would cost? It's already insulated. It's actually a carport that was built with the house. Thanks. Now we're running out of time. So it's per square metre, is it?
Square, yes.
So what's the current?
Anything 1,200 to 1,500 per square metre. So you're kind of, you're 30, 35, 40,000.
Yeah. I didn't want to talk about how the inflation in work and raw materials and all that, because you've covered it on Room to Improve. So we just get to Kieran's finally. Yeah. Hi, myself and my wife are thinking about a new build this year. Are we mad with the prices? So that is the one.
Go and design it, get it priced, and see how it is. Like the economy is changing, and you know there was price increases last year. They're falling. Who knows what's going to happen now? The biggest problem at the moment is logistics, supply and demand. Ukraine, yes. Nobody knows what's going to happen there, where materials are coming from, whether it's going to be blocks, whether it's, you know, there's a lot, our focus has shifted. The pandemic caused huge.
So what's your advice? Is it
Get it drawn up, go get it priced.
And
a good QS or somebody will know.
Claire.
Yeah. Will know, no, hold on, I'd hold off for another year. That's what they'll tell you that.
Okay, Claire has the measure of you, that's what I meant to say as well. Okay,
does
Dermot Bannon, thank you very much.
That's right.
Half nine Sundays, Room to Improve, three more to go.
Two
more to go. Right. It's a season of five. Thanks, Dermot. Cormac and Sarah on the way. We are back tomorrow at 3 o'clock. Enjoy the rest of your Thursday evening. This is the closing jingle.
It's the Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.